joining us now, and as I think of recognizable voices in the Bay Area, I think she may be the most recognizable voice in the Bay Area. I really do, and that is Ronell. Ronell Brooks Moon joins us, and love having you as part of the show, and I hope you're well. And as I say, someday you're going to be running the whole city of San Francisco anyway. I know that. That's coming. But it's great to have you on the show and just hear your voice. How are you?
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for having me. I'm hanging in there. It's so good to hear your voice, too. And I'm just excited and cautiously optimistic as we get ready to return to baseball.
Boy, we hope so. This is a very special weekend for me. Larry Doby's debut in the American League only a few months after Jackie Robinson's debut of April 15th, 1947. He was only 22 years old, and Bill Veeck signed him as part of the Cleveland Indians. He did not get a warm reception, but he integrated the American League, and people kind of forget about Larry Doby, and that anniversary is tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, one that I love, and that is the American League debut in 1948 of the great Satchel Paige, which happened to happen on his 42nd birthday. So those are things that I love to acknowledge, and I know you're a wonderful historian on the Negro Leagues, and you've met Buck O'Neill, and you've had interchanges with him. But I'd love to get your feelings about this weekend and the significance of Larry Doby and Satchel Paige.
Yeah, thank you, Marty, for highlighting this this amazing weekend and these next significant and historical days that we're heading into. And I just think at this moment in time, with all of the social unrest and the fight for social justice, how we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, and it's wonderful that you have this platform to celebrate Larry Doby in particular, who just doesn't get the same recognition as Jackie. And I was thinking this morning when I woke up, I'm like, well, at this moment in time, and the way baseball has responded, or in sometimes the lack thereof, to all of the protesting that's been going on since we lost George Floyd. I was thinking this now is the time to really celebrate Larry in the same way that we celebrate Jackie Robinson. There's a lot of articles that I had read about how when you're the first, you're highly celebrated, and Larry was also the first, although a lot of fans look at him as the second, but he was the first in the American League. So why isn't he celebrated on that same level? Obviously, no disrespect to the great Jackie Robinson, because that was huge. But I think this is a time for Major League Baseball to really do right by Larry. I just don't think he's been celebrated enough. He went through absolutely the same things that Jackie went through, the taunts and the slurs and the racist teammates, and had the same grace and character that Jackie did. So I'm really hoping that MLB will take another look at how we can honor him in a much bigger way.
Well, I agree. Ronell with us. I don't even have to say your name. We just hear the voice, and it gives me the goosebumps just to hear it. But Larry Doby was 22, and he hadn't gone to college like Jackie had, and he wasn't handpicked like Jackie was. And he went into a Cleveland Indian veteran team that didn't want to have anything to do with him. They walked him around the locker room and players turn their back on him and things like that. And now he comes in July 5th of 1947. And when you look at how many times he was in a major league game for the rest of the year, it's a handful of games. And he was only 22, and he was this great athlete from New Jersey and grew up there. And he was put into a very difficult situation, and Jackie was ready. And Jackie had the support of everybody. Larry Doby did not. And Larry Doby turned out to be, in 1948, they put him in center field, and the rest is history. The Cleveland Indians won the World Series.
Exactly. And I think that's lost as well in his story. He was a kid. And you think of how young he was, and how he had to go through this as just a kid is really remarkable. And that's another reason why I think we really need to honor him even further. I mean, none of his teammates would shake his hand. You know, I think obviously the slurs and everything. I think at one point when he slid into second base, the second baseman spit tobacco juice in his face. He's, you know, same things that Jackie went through. But when you think of the fact that he was just a kid, but also I think he had great mental strength, because I've always been fascinated. You and I have talked about this a lot, Marty, on how sports is, it's more mental than physical. Every Giants player, every baseball player I've ever interviewed has always said to me, it's more of a mental challenge than a physical challenge. And the fact that he was such a brilliant high school athlete, I mean, he played basketball as well as baseball. He ran track. He was a wide receiver in football. And I think having not been an athlete myself, but I think that mental discipline that you get from playing sports served him very well at such a young age when the spotlight was on him in such a huge way.
Beautifully said, and became a Hall of Famer along the way. So that's Larry Doby now. The kid, Larry Doby, turns into Satchel Paige, who's 42, who's had this tremendous career in the Negro Leagues. He's pitched all over the world, over the Caribbean and Cuba and the Dominican Republic. Books are written about him. And they finally get him to the Cleveland Indians, 42 years old in 1948. How about that story?
It's just remarkable. And one of the reasons I have a Satchel Paige figurine next to my microphone in the PA booth. I mean, if you think, listen, when I was 42, I could barely get on the treadmill. Can I just say that, Marty, as I add a little levity to the conversation this morning? But it's just remarkable what he was able to accomplish, and you know how cool for Satchel and Larry Doby to be the first black players to win a World Series championship. And you know, just Satchel was remarkable. And you know, so many baseball historians, as well as Larry Doby himself, said that you know, I faced great talent in both the major leagues and the Negro leagues. I see no difference in the talent. I mean, it just speaks to how these Negro League athletes were, you know, denied an opportunity in the majors, but were extraordinary athletes. At the age of 42, Satchel is doing his thing. It's remarkable.
He was fabulous. Come on, he was 6-1. They don't win the pennant without Satchel Paige, because they end up in a playoff with the Red Sox. They tie the Red Sox. Without Satchel Paige, 6-1, and what he did, they don't win. So I love the fact that we could celebrate Satchel Paige. I actually saw Satchel Paige pitch, believe it or not. He pitched for the Marlins, the Miami Marlins, when I was in Miami in 1957-58. And I went to the games every weekend. And there was Satchel Paige pitching for the Marlins. So I have an image in my mind of him walking in and going to the mound. I do have that image.
That has got to be a cherished memory. That's amazing, Marty. That's amazing. Yeah, that performance by Satchel in the World Series, my late dad would say he was unconscious. You know, whenever a player was in the zone, my dad would say, that cat is unconscious. So I've got to give props to my daddy on that one.
I love it. I love it. Hey, Buck O'Neill, and I saw this somewhere, and maybe on Facebook or wherever, but you related a story where you did meet the great Buck O'Neill, the first black coach in the major leagues.
Yeah, Marty. It was it's something I'll never forget. And I shared that story because I was invited to participate in the Tipping Your Cap campaign. Our great friend Bob Kendrick at the Negro League Museum, the campaign that they launched this year to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Negro League. So I was very honored to be asked to record a video for that campaign. And I have my Buck O'Neill autographed baseball. It was a spring training game, Giants versus Royals, obviously, many years ago. I had only been with the team a few years, and I think I went to spring training really just as a fan. I didn't have to work that season. And then my husband and I saw him sitting in the stands, and I was like, well, I have to go. I have to go meet him and introduce myself to him. And we sat with him for about 3 or 4 innings, Marty. And it was like we were part of his family. It was just amazing. He was just regaling us with so many of his experiences. And he was so interested in what I was doing and how I got the job. And I couldn't believe he was engaging me in this conversation. And then it was adorable. Towards the end, he said, now, do y'all have any children? And we said, no. And he said, y'all didn't give me any grandbabies? I'll never forget that. Buck O'Neill wanted to be the grandpa to my children. How I wished I had children at that time, you know?
Beautiful.
But yeah, it was just, and then without even me asking, he signed a baseball for me. It's just, yeah. It was just extraordinary. I felt so privileged. And you know, Marty, I've told you this a lot. This job has given me experiences and opportunities and moments that I could have never expected that I'm just grateful for every single day. And meeting Buck O'Neill, and not just meeting him, but spending time with him is right at the top of my list.
Come on, you are number one in the Bay Area. I'm telling you, every time I go on Facebook or see a picture of something major that's happening in this city, this region, you are in the middle of it. So it's very, very well deserved, believe me, very well deserved. All right, I get asked this question a million times, and I really do. What's going to happen when no fans at the ballpark? Are you going to participate? Are you going to announce the game and all that stuff? What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, all I know right now is that I am an essential game day worker. I will be back announcing the games. That's all I really know right now. I in fact got an email yesterday about how and when to get my credential and what the new entrance procedures will be and where we park now and those kind of things. You know, those kind of structural maintenance kind of things. But as far as my in-game duties right now, other than announcing the players, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, no fans. I don't know. You know, does that mean no pregame ceremonies, I would imagine, because we can't have anybody coming into the ballpark. And unless we – I don't know how we're going to do this, unless we do it via video and acknowledge the honorees that way. We play walk-up music for the guys. Not that I am the DJ. A lot of people think that I'm also the DJ. I am not. I'm a great DJ. I'm sure the guys will want their walk-up music, but do we play music between any innings? Do we play rally videos? You know, myself and, you know, Kevin Skillings, our director, we text or talk every day, and we're just like, we're spinning around saying, how's this going to work? What's this going to look like? So I really don't know much more than that. And you know, Marty, that booth is so small, and I want to know how we're going to social distance in that booth, because you know I'm in there with like five other people. And but true. Here's a thought that I had. Now we're going to have the cardboard cutouts of fans, but I was like, why don't I just sit behind home plate, you know, out in the stands with a wireless mic and a headset?
You know, it's so funny you said that, because as I'm listening to you, I'm saying, well, the great Tex Rickard, who was the Brooklyn Dodgers PA announcer, Pat Piper, these are legendary names of people who did the job that you were doing, they would be right behind the dugout. And right there where, you know, where Rob Dean sits or Larry Bear sits, you know, right in that area. And they would have a megaphone. They would just, with the megaphone, yell out what was happening. And that's there was no PA system in those days. You know, that's the way they would do it. And then, of course, they did put in a PA system, but they still stayed down there. And the famous Tex Rickard story, you know, he was a New Yorker. You know, it's the Brooklyn Dodgers, and you can imagine the boys this summer. Yeah, the big New York accent, the Brooklyn accent. And, you know, he had to announce why Pee Wee Reese wasn't in the game, because he left the game in the middle of the game. And, you know, he's sitting down by the dugout, and he says, well, I want to let you know Pee Wee Reese is not playing because he don't feel so good. And that's the way they did it in those days. So this will be Kevin. Well, look, I've known Kevin for 35 years, and, you know, you guys do a great job, and it's going to be interesting. But, you know, the games will be on TV. They'll be on radio. And I guess as part of the TV production, you'd kind of like to see the scoreboard and all the different things you guys do, I guess.
Yeah, I'm anxious. I'm really anxious to find out how we are going to proceed and what the games are going to look like. But nevertheless, I'm really, really excited to get back. And as I said earlier, I'm cautiously optimistic because, I mean, you know, we have to be realistic about the virus and, you know, and the hotspots that our guys are going to have to travel to. And so there's, you know, there's obviously some concern there, but I can't wait. I've missed it so much, as we all have. just miss it. Because, you know, Marty, it's my life. It's my passion. It's my favorite sport. And, you know, I speak for all the fans when I say how much we miss it. So if we can get that normalcy back into our summertime, it would do us a world of good, you know, mentally, because this has been, again, with the mental challenge, this sheltering in place has been a mental challenge for so many of us, if not all of us. And that would give us, you know, something to enjoy and take our mind off of all the other stresses we're going through. So I really hope we get back and have a solid mini season. I can't wait.
Good, good, good. It's time to get those 200 pair of shoes out of the closet.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I got 20 years worth of orange shoes, and I was like, do I have to put them in storage now? My goodness.
Get them out of the closet. You got more than anybody. I always say you're my idol. So, all right. I love having you on. I'm glad to hear your voice. I know everyone who's listening is glad to hear your voice, and we're glad to know that you'll be part of whatever production's going to happen. It's going to make it more normal, so I'm glad you'll be there.
Oh, thank you so much, Marty. I can't wait to see you, and it's so great to hear your voice. And thanks again for having me on what is this really, you know, most important days ahead for Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. All right. Rennell, thanks. Be well. Enjoy yourself. Masks, wash your hands, social distance, and take care of yourself. And we'll see you soon. Thank you.
That sounds good. You do the same, Marty. Thank you.
Okay. More coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.